just bless the beat.
I'm Shauna the Songbird, and I'm with your favorite guest host, Mally. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. How are you doing?
Child, just let me tell you, down on my luck, back against the wall.
Whatever
the lyrics are, I forgot. I was quoting a Tyler Perry song from one of his plays.
That has some truth to it. What's going on with you? That has some truth to it. That's shows, that got some truth to it.
Nothing. What you call it? But you know, I just recently relocated, you know, send me your location.
You're not in Florida though, right?
No, I'm not in that wasteland. I'm not.
Wasteland.
I'm not there. And I'm happy I didn't go because, like, as soon as I left, that's when, what was it, Milton or one of those hurricanes came sweeping through.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was like, I said, oh, I'm so happy I'm not there because you know what would have happened? It would have been like, you will have to stay and make sure that these babies don't die.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
for
I would
sure.
Have been,
yeah.
And I would have been like, my car, my things and my life in this hospital. I don't know. And I've never been through that. The closest I've been through, like a hurricane in a hospital setting was when I was in Houston and it was like this big storm that was going through Galveston. Is that the place in Texas that got fucked
yes.
up?
Yes.
Yes.
There is a Galveston, Texas. Yes.
Yes. And so they got fucked up and Houston was like prepared and was like, oh my goodness, it's going to be bad. And it was going to be really bad. And it was really bad flooding in areas. Luckily, where the hospital I was at and where I was living, it wasn't bad. But I was on the team, so I had to stay that night and everything because I worked during the day. And so I had to stay that night and we pretty much did like a big sleepover and then had to clock in to work the next morning. And luckily it was nothing. It was no issues, but they did put me on that team. I was like, why you put me on this? Literally, I had just started working there for like, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe. And I was like, y'all already got me on the hurricane team. That's fucked up.
Well, I told you that I have a friend that worked at the hospital in St. Pete, and I wasn't thinking about it when I texted him. I texted him, and I was like, bitch, please tell me that you are not going to be in St. Pete.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
going to leave.
I remember. Yes, yes, yes.
And he was like, bitch, you know I'm a doctor. I can't go nowhere. I have to be here. He said, the safest place is the hospital, of course. But he was like, I can't go nowhere. I got to be
here. See, they say the safest place, and I'm just like, I don't know. When Mother Nature hits.
Does it ever hit a hospital?
I feel like No. I feel like no place is safe. Like,
it never hits
no matter where you go.
It never hits a church. It never hits a foster care center.
That's what y'all say. That's just not what they...
Imagine
that's not what
if they hit a foster care center and the kids start running out. That doesn't... adoption agencies. No, it's not... That doesn't happen. Now, it'll hit a house every day. It'll hit a house. It'll tear a playground up.
But it's gonna skip over
pet shelter,
the foster care.
Never hit a pet shelter. Cats, dogs, birds running around. Never.
They just miraculously they're safe because, you know, You know, what's the saying? The Lord always protects babies, old people, and crazy people.
No, crazy people protect crazy people. When you start to go mentally, whatever it is, whether it's drug related, especially if it's drug related, you don't feel pain. I live in New York. I've seen crackheads put their body through the ringer. They get right on up. I done seen homeless people or people that are like
drug housed. Yeah. Yeah.
On the ground in the stump. And I'm like, you know what, baby, I get it. Sometimes you just be tired. You didn't lay down. I get it.
But when I see that, I always feel like that's what the zombie apocalypse looks like to me.
Like that doesn't bother my mind at all.
Like for me, that's what it looks like. Because like, especially in Harlem, like when I stayed in Harlem, like those people would be like in groups and they would just be leaning and
they got a band together, like, girl, eat.
And they just be leaning and or like walking in slow motion, eyes be closed. Then like
no
they
fear.
Have this
ain't got
and
no
then
fear.
Have this random moment of rage and then they go back to just being still in slow motion. And I'm like, this is like The Walking Dead. I'm like, I see the source material.
Now, when it comes to zombie apocalypse, that's not one of those doomsday things. I'm going round one. I'm dying round. I'm not staying here. I saw I Am Legend. Stay here for what? Let's say you live. Let's say you win. Everybody gone. Everybody dead. What you going to do? Start over somewhere else. We repopulate the earth. There's too much work on my conscience. No, I'm going round one. Y'all figure it out.
I mean, I feel like we'll be good as long as we have Nick Cannon and Kiki Wyatt.
We need them too, because they're like the human version of like rabbits. They'll populate the earth for fun if you let them. If you let them.
Oh shit!
They said Abraham, you'll be the father of many.
And Will.
How y'all and all is.
And all, baby. I think both of them still are working on more children. I think they are, which is
so what's the Energizer Bunny? Honey, they're all working on it.
Baby, at a certain point, you need to get your twos tied. And I mean both two. Like, he needs to get a vasectomy. She needs to get.
Can I just say, I'm not seeing these walls. These walls. Yeah. Remind me of home so much. Them damn wooden walls, girl. Them look countrified walls. I have not seen them walls. They remind me of my grandmother's house so bad. You got the one long one. You got the little small one. You got a real, real small one.
Oh, yes. The vibe.
You are somebody black house. So somebody house black. Whoever lives here is black. I know, for a fact. Them walls, black home.
I mean, I do live here. I mean, yes. But outside of me, no, everyone has been Caucasian.
Not in this house, not with them walls. Every black house that I've been into in the South or any Southern state got them walls. And I bet you right now, you walk in the fridge, if you walk in the kitchen, you're going to find some sweet tea and some oatmeal cream pies.
Unfortunately.
Also, while I'm looking at you,
I'm so scared.
I have not. I forgot all about Hello Kitty. Can we talk?
I forgot Hello Kitty.
Miss Kitty, I forgot all about Miss Kitty. I have not seen this Hello Kitty since the Chevy went to the levee and the levee was dry. Can we talk about, now that I think about it, can we talk about the ironclad money grip Hello Kitty used to have on bitches? Lunch boxes, crayon boxes, whoa, shirts, pencils, pens, markers. Hello Kitty had a pussy grip on everybody. And it didn't matter how old you were, how young you were, Hello Kitty was running the game.
Hello Kitty still is collecting her coins.
Baby,
because...
not that ironclad grip, honey.
I mean, it's not as strong, but I mean, I got this I got this from Target? Yeah, I got this from Target. And it was kind of interesting because this was in the men's section. And I was the men's section? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to steal it because it's Hello Kitty. And then I had got like another Hello Kitty shirt. And then like now I'm starting to see like Fashion Nova has Hello Kitty. Target has a good amount of Hello Kitty. Torrid is starting to sell Hello Kitty. Like Hello Kitty is starting to repopulate.
Baby, Miss Hello Kitty had these girls by the throat. You hear me?
But you know, now since we are older, because I used to love Hello Kitty as a child. Since we're older.
Honey.
Like Hello Kitty's coming through and like going saying, hey, millennials, I am still here for your nostalgia. Please consume me. Yes.
What's the new like Hello Kitty? What's the new young Gen Z? Everybody is like,
first of all, Gen Z are grown.
Are they really?
Gen Z's grown now, yes. Now we're currently in Generation Alpha. Beta are still like small babies, but like now, like school age children are now Alpha now.
So, how old are Gen Z?
Gen Zers are like about to be in their 20s. Like, Gen Zers
that can't be right.
Gen Z is about to graduate high school.
I'm so old.
You are behind. And the only reason why I keep up is because I work with children a lot of
times. Yeah. I mean, you give a point because Gen Z can vote now.
Like a lot of them can. Like a lot of them, like child, like even like before, like when I used to be out in the world. And
what do you mean by that?
Like when I was single.
Oh, when you were promiscuous, when you're promoting promiscuity. Okay.
I wasn't promoting promiscuity. I had my hot light on, that's all.
So you were serving your country. Right.
Yeah, I just had my hot light on, you know. Yeah, saying? Light on,
you know what? You're serving your country, you know, thank you.
You know, hot and fresh, you know.
Putting in the tireless work. I really hope that when they bury you on your stomach to give your ass a break.
I'm so fucking weak. But when I was out in the world, I would get approached by like,
when I was out in the world,
I would get approached by these young dudes.
Accosted.
And I'd be like, wait a minute, excuse me, young man, how old are you? And they would tell me, and I'm like, you don't even really know what 9/11 is. Like, sir, please.
Okay, Pam, we barely know.
Barely know, babe. I vividly remember that day.
I was, my mother came and got me from daycare.
All right. So I'm not going to talk to you no more. No.
I do remember, all I remember is that my mother came and got me from daycare. We went to my cousin's house and they were watching it on TV, but I didn't know what it was. Mind you, I was 4, 5 maybe.
No. See, I was old enough to vividly remember. And I was concerned because I had an uncle that worked in DC. I was scared something was gonna happen there. I had an aunt who worked at the Pentagon. So I was like,
oh snap.
So I was like, oh my God. And so I was real like nervous when the teacher like ran through and was like saying what happened, and like they put on the television on the little cube back in the day.
You
those cube ass TVs. And I was like, oh my God. We were sitting and watching the live coverage. We didn't pass classes or nothing. We just like sat there and just, you know, and we just watched this, all this like transpire. And like it was a big deal for, well, some of us, because also I think one girl, her dad had worked there. But luckily my aunt was safe, her dad was safe. And so like we were fine. But it was a moment. But the fact that you just like, I barely remember, all right, I feel.
Well, I thought we were the same age. I thought we were, I didn't think you were that old than me.
Don't do that.
You were that old than me. You could have just joined in and been like, yeah, I was so young, you know, toddler, diapers. You were like, oh, no, I was fully in sixth grade. Right.
And that's why I will just continue to let, I guess that's why the young boys kept coming up to me, because they thought I was in diapers when they were.
I want to hear more about this language of boys just kept coming up to me and just pulling me by my arm. Just what was this? What were these? Tell me these stories about these boys coming up caressing you.
Like they would, like you know the way I dress. You know, I love to dress with skin showing. I love things to be fitted and form fitting. And you know, I'm a very curvy woman. You know, you've seen how when I've worked out with you, how other people in the gym have reacted to certain outfits that I wear.
Okay, certain people. There are some older, some men that, honey, never speak to me, never say a word to me. If I was on fire, they had to think about if they want to spit. But whenever she walks in the room, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, want to chat it up, cheesing. But yeah, she is right about that.
And so it's pretty much the same thing. You know, like I would be at the bar, minding my business, or I'll be like walking down the street. You know, I will be looking cute, like with my little skirt. I'll have my back out, boots will be out, you know, just all the things. And yeah, and you know, and I've had dudes like come up to me and proposition, you know, eating me out in their car in the parking lot.
Proposition. I've had gentlemen callers. Oh man. Proposition me.
They proposition.
Oh my! Why I never in a thousand million years, I've never done that before.
They just be like, you know, hey, I want to eat you out in the parking lot. I'd be like, sir, I am a Christian. I don't do these things. And I've noticed like the younger dudes are much vulgar and bolder with their things. Like they didn't have much game. And then I would be like, oh, I'd be like, young man, I am older than what you think and whatever. They'd be like, well, I'm mature for my age. I'm like, see that now. If you had a lead up with that, no. Definitely not doing it. And then or they'll be like, well, you know, I like my women older. I was like, No. Now you're talking to me like I'm like 45. Like, this can't work.
So you got people that like guys are like, I like my women older. Does it work the same way? Is it as attractive, I guess, when it's a guy and a girl and the guy is younger than the woman? Does it work the same way as when, like, because me being gay, my boyfriend is older than me. Mm-hmm. I purposefully like wanted an older man, but it isn't that big of a deal. How is it with you? Because you don't want to be a cougar, I guess. Well, I don't know. Do you? I don't.
Well, I don't want to be a cougar. However, my current boyfriend, he's younger than me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's younger than me.
By a little bit.
But not a huge amount, not like, no, you know, decade or so, but he's younger.
Okay, well, hold on now, not too much, Pam. My boyfriend and I are a decade apart.
Wait, are y'all really?
Girl, yeah.
I thought it was just the mustache.
I was not playing, honey. I was like, I want somebody older. I've been the older men, honey. I just, like, the young ones, I just get so... I'm too mean. I'm way too mean. I hurt your feelings. Like I need someone older that can take it.
I don't know if we should listen to you, because I mean you're also the last one who was raving about how you wanted some diabetic ass.
I said that episode one time,
and it was the most memorable thing.
And she'll never. I said this one time in passing.
And I loved it. Like
this one time. And you kept, and you keep telling your viewers, folks that I don't know.
It was so good. Speaking of your business, like, what has been up with you? What's been new with you? How is work? How is modeling? Because then you do just do like a photo shoot or a campaign or something.
I've been putting a lot of investment and time into my business, my career. I'm a personal trainer and I have my own business, my own LLC. So I train people for a living. And I took some shots for promo for the business. So I can like post.
Oh, nice.
And, but I've gotten them all back, but I'm waiting to get the edits back. The edited versions back. And so that's really nice. This is my first year with my own business, which is nice. Like nice being going off on my own and venturing off, and it feels good. And I live in New York City, and I enjoy. And so there is the opportunity is there.
Mm-hmm.
So working, when I was getting the shots done for the business, I was also getting some shots done for my agent. He wanted me to do some updated looks, so I did some updated looks, some different variations, some different things, and so I'm waiting to get those back, which I hope I get back this week. But those are the two main things that I'm doing, like working, building a brand, and then alongside of that, taking care of this boyfriend that I got, not like taking care, but like, you know, nursing your relationship, which is not easy, it's hard.
You gotta give him his time.
So, having the nursing relationship, and just the fall is coming up. It's November. It's a lot of family time happening right now. So I was in Alabama for the first week. I went home for during the election.
Oh, baby.
It was needed. I needed to go home. It was smart to be in Alabama for the election.
Why is that?
There's no way I could have worked that Wednesday. No way. There's no way I could have come to work, worked, had the same conversation over and over and over again all day. No. No. No.
I mean, let's look at this.
For myself, there was no way I could, like, put on a fake smile and be like,
312.
Wait, what?
312 was what he had in total.
Okay.
And she had 226. And
yeah,
you
need
270 to win. When I tell you, just like you, well, no, I think I was off that Wednesday. No, I was not off that Wednesday. I had to work that Wednesday. But I was off that Tuesday. I got off work. I went to sleep. And I told my boyfriend, I said, we can order out. Or whatever, but I am not doing nothing. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not on social media. I'm going to turn around and take these edibles, and I'm going to be high as fuck, and I'm not going to know what's going on with the world. Like, how was it for you being back home, and, like, how did you process the situation? Because I know a lot of people of color have been processing the election differently, so, like,
well, there's been this big separation between, you just said it, that it's this term, people of color. So there's been a big delineation now from Black people to people of color. It is. And it's just because it's evident that people of color is a positive term, but it only really works in, like, protest and social events. When it comes to voting, it's clear that it's not as unified as we thought it was. Now, there was a lot of work. So looking at the demographic breakdown and seeing where Black women voted and where Black men voted and where everyone voted, like to see, I remember hearing and seeing all of the work that Black women had to do with Black men to get them to go out and vote.
Which is stupid.
And so, right. But like, Black women were constantly like telling black men to go vote. You're not going to vote. You need to go vote, go vote, go vote, go vote. Like, and like, vote. And so after we see the demographic breakdown, there are many black men that are like, well, can we get an apology for us going out and doing what we're supposed to do? And I was like, and they were like, no, because if we didn't do this, you wouldn't have done it. Like there were women saying that, like, if we weren't hounding you all the way that we, like, in this way, you wouldn't have done it. And that's the same thing when it comes to the other demographics. There was no holding each other accountable for the election. And so now we have what we have. And at first I was shocked, like, very shocked. And then after the shock went away, it turned into pure, like, rage. I was so angry looking at the demographic breakdown. And I was angry and confused because I'm sitting here on Facebook.com going round and round with white people about other folks' shit. I'm going round and round white people about our women's rights. I'm going round and round about Stop Asian Hate. I'm going round and round about immigration or abortion. I'm like, none of these things deal with me at all. None of these things have anything to do with me. And I'm trying to support and advocate and be a microphone for these other people when it turns out the other people, that wasn't their main priority when they were in the ballot booth. And so I was like, oh, I feel a little silly. I feel a little foolish because I thought we were all people of color. It turned into rage because I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm thinking nothing on the ballot, there was nothing where they were talking about me. So it wasn't like all the questions, all the policies about women's health care, nothing to me. All the policies about immigration, nothing to me. I'm voting for you. I'm going to be fine. So when they come, I think it just hurts to see because no matter what political party gets into office, people think that whatever that policy they want to implement is, it's they're not talking about them. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, whatever this policy is, oh, it's not me, they're talking about them. And that's going to be what the ongoing theme is, I predict, of this next administration, is that it was fine when it was them. Now it's an issue when it's me. And it's already beginning to happen now. With the school shootings, one of the solutions is that they offered was, oh, let's put metal detectors in the school. Well, they already do that.
They've been doing that.
But it wasn't a problem when it was them. It's a problem now that it's you. Now it seems like a prison. It looks like a prison on the outside. You can't have detectors. Well, it wasn't an issue when it was over there.
Right.
In the black schools, you just see no hear no.
And let me tell you, our schools had metal detectors and we had little cages on the windows.
They didn't care when it was y'all. I don't go over there anyway. Don't care.
Right, but now you gotta put it in the white schools. Oh, these schools,
it's prison. It's dark. Ooh. Kids can't learn like that.
Not even the blacks been doing that for ages.
And I didn't know this until the week before the election. I didn't know because, the Trump administration was talking about doing away with the Department of Education. And I did not know that charter schools and private schools are not equipped to handle IEP students and 504 plans. 504 plans and IEP students are any kind of mentally handicapped or needing of additional education. You okay?
Okay. Oh, I was just pretty much thinking like, oh, I didn't know that.
Special needs students, yes, like special needs students.
I would think that's like the basis. I thought that was like every school is supposed to.
Well,
but then again,
the DOE provides the standard of practice for what schools have to adhere to when they have those students. It doesn't matter if your child has special needs or not. They are entitled to an education the same way your child is, by law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the DOE sets that practice of what and provides the resources and the funding for those students. Whether it's one kid or 10 kids, they get educated. in the public school. In the charter school, in the private school, there is no IEP plan. There is no 504 plan. Because those schools weren't designed to have you in them. Oh, no. Private schools weren't designed for special needs kids. They were designed to keep them away from Black kids. That's why they started. You can ask anyone that went to private school, did they see any special needs kids? No.
That's wild. That's interesting. I never thought about their lack of special needs attention.
Yes.
In the private sector.
So take it one step further. If those resources for those kids are gone, not available, your child is not getting educated as well as they could be, because now that the DOE is gone, every state can educate their kids how they see fit. Because there is no standard. It's gone. And so, if your school, if you're in some small little town, or if you're in a big city, or wherever you are, doesn't matter. If your kid is not getting educated the way that they should be, mama or daddy, one of y'all got to educate this kid, this special needs student. And guess what? You were not built for. You were not built to educate special needs kids. So now your patience is short. You don't want to do it. And you pay them for somebody else to do it.
Or you kill them.
Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson. But I didn't know this. I did not know this. I didn't know. Charter schools weren't meant to have the resources for special needs kids. And so what charter schools do is that they either don't admit them, or they do admit them, and those kids don't get a quality education because the resources aren't there. And if the kid is making the school's numbers look bad, they put the kid out because it's a charter school. And if you aren't meeting the standard, you put out. So now there's nowhere for your kid to go. Guess what? Mom and daddy got to homeschool that kid, or they got to pay somebody to do it. Because the DOE, it provides the resources. Now, it may not, even though the DOE has those resources, it may not be spectacular. It may not be amazing, but it is. There is something set aside for you.
Right.
Whether it's, now the issue in a charter school or a private school, they're going to be willing to not do it if it's just one kid. One kid, two kids. We're not adding this whole funding, paying somebody's salary to teach two kids. No. When the DOE, that money is set aside for those teachers. It's hard to find them. The pay isn't that much.
Right. In fact.
But there are resources federally for those students. Something for those students. And I forgot about this part too. In the public school system, you are set up, wherever you are, wherever you live, doesn't matter. You are set up to go to the next level. So from elementary school, they set you up. This is the middle schools or school that you will go to next.
Uh-huh.
This is the high school or high schools that you will go to next. Private schools, there is no next step. It's wherever you want to go. Charter schools, there is no charter elementary, charter middle, charter high. Wherever you want to go. So you're not being prepared to go to the next. You are prepared to be in that space where you are right now. K through 5, 6 through 8, 9 through 10, 12. And there's no connection to another school. They're all there. I didn't know that.
So I find it interesting that you said your reaction was rage. Cause I feel like I've been listening to people and it's a mixed bag between, I mean, besides those people that actually voted for him and was like, I am economically conservative, so therefore right. I voted for him. When they don't have a pot to piss in, or barely have a pot to piss in, and or the people that just side with whiteness. But then for people of color or for Black people, I have noticed it's either rage or it's like grief and sadness. Like for me, I experienced grief and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And it was grief and sadness because, one, we've already encountered him before. We went through his bullcrap already. And I feel like what he does is important, but it's also the attitude and the atmosphere that the people that look up to him and the people that follow him have, to me, is a greater effect personally than what he does. And mm-hmm. then what he does kind of like, it's just like the bow on top for me. It's just like, everything else that's happening, like as far as like locally, is like, you know, it's prepping up, and then he comes in and be like, oh, I hear you and blah blah, so I'm gonna do this, and then he just seals it with a bow of his little approval, and then next thing you know, it's like, okay, worse things are coming, and it's just like, we've dealt with that before. And the things that were brought up about just anybody who was not cishet Christian white or rich was just like, that could be me, that could be my mother, that could be my father. And people, like you said, they have this whole thing of now of that doesn't deal with me, so
right.
I don't care,
right?
But it's like, you should care because whatever that person gets or this demographic gets, it's gonna somehow benefit you. The only time, I know at one point they were trying to take away the DEIs and they was talking about how you know, it was just benefiting the Black folk, but it's just like, no, it also benefit women. It also benefited other minorities. It benefited disabled people. It benefits so many. And like, one thing I've been hearing a lot, people don't realize, a lot of times if something passed for the Blacks, it's going to be beneficial for you. If you are non-white and not a man, it's going to benefit you. And for people to have this kind of concept of like, oh, it doesn't affect me. Everything is going to affect you eventually.
There are really two kinds of people. There are people that when they were voting, they were thinking of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that when they were voting, they were thinking of what is important to them. They're thinking of their gas, their gas, their groceries, their income, their family. It was only me, mine, and us. And there was no thought of those people. I'm trying to deal with what I got going on right here, and that's a lot right now. And so that's where the biggest disconnect is, because we're screaming like, this is about other people, and they're like, this is about me. And I've gotten into this discussion too many times, then we're round and round on Facebook, and because people are talking about, oh, like, the price of gas is high, and you know, everything has went up, and wages have been stagnant. And I said, okay, this sounds like an issue for your government. This like if you're saying that the wages have not gone up and the food and the cost of living has gone up, then that's a conversation you need to have with your governor and everything. So I have a cousin. He's 19 years old. Did not vote in this election because he thought that it didn't matter. And I'm trying to he said that he didn't like either candidate and it wouldn't matter. And I said, let me explain. I said, you know what? It's okay and reasonable if you don't think that either candidate is good. That's fine. But that's valid reason to have. But let me explain to you why you need to still vote. Because not only are you voting for the presidency, you're also voting for the governor, the congressman, the sheriff, the judges. So when you don't vote and you let some local sheriff get in office and he run around here pulling your black ass over, giving you tickets, arresting your black ass, then you also don't vote. And so you let some local judge, good old boy judge, get in, and the judge is harassing your black ass because he don't know you. Now, all his friends, all his cousins, all his family, they get passes, honey. Because I know the judge. I know the judge. You, little Negro boy, don't know the judge. You, little Negro boy, don't know the sheriff. They don't care about you. But because you didn't want to vote, you didn't get the chance to not let these people get in. And once they get in, the whole team votes. The family votes, the friends vote, team vote, everybody votes. Because they want to keep this man in office. Because if they're in office, we're invincible. I'm not getting pulled over. I got pulled over. I'm just going to give it to the sheriff, my cousin, my friend. They'll just take care of it.
And then also on top of that, to have a lot of, and then the way a lot of these states are set up to where they are really banking on the prison system to kind of help, like, just pretty much getting that free labor from the prison system. You know, you are adding fuel to their fire.
Mm-hmm.
You're adding fuel to their fire. Like, Alabama don't have no money, but yet, okay, Ivy is still turning around and building a big-ass prison.
Oh, she is.
Well, at least at one point she was. I don't know if it's still going, but it's a lot of southern places that are like that. I think Louisiana's like that as well. Like, they really profit off of like having people in those prisons, right?
Mm-hmm. And so that's what people don't understand is that the down ballot. If you want, think what, and I've had discussion with my mother also, the things that affect you on a day-to-day basis is all down ballot. The judge, the sheriff, the congressmen, the senators, the House members, the governor, these things affect you on a daily basis. Trump not coming to Southside Walmart in Dothan to make sure they don't raise prices on your food. Trump not coming to Dothan, Alabama to make sure they don't raise rent in your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
These are all questions and concerns for your government. But people just think that for, I don't know how or why, but that's the issue, is that you don't expect the principal, even if you love the principal of your child's school, your principal will not teach your kid science, math, English. He go hire somebody else to do that. Now, they could suck. They could be awful. But you, for some reason, love the principal. And you think because the principal is so great, he's going to hire all these great people and everything's going to be nice and great and fun. But at the end of the day, the principal is not coming down to your kid class to teach your kid. Yeah. Your concerns, baby, are day to day, but you're asking about big picture. You want to sing above the staff, but you're flat in the middle of the staff.
Come on, I'm using that as a clip.
You want to sing these high notes, but in this mid range, you're flat. Let's work on this mid range first, mama. You're flat, but you want to sing up here.
It's just so what do you think are good ways for people to, I guess, redirect their feelings,
yeah,
to where it is like, it's beneficial. Because, like, my thing is, like, you know, it's going on, what, 2 weeks since the election?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the people who were angry, I feel like it's an adequate amount of time for, you know, for you to stomp around, you know, cuss a couple of people out on Facebook.com or in person.
Right.
Maybe pistol whip a person or two.
Pistol whip. Or you mean BS?
And for the people who were sad and having almost like this grieving feeling, you know, I felt like it was like an adequate amount of time for us to be like, you know, to be down, to be lonesome and whatnot. But what do you think is a good way to turn around and like repurpose that energy?
Okay, this is it. There are gonna be many, many facets to this answer. One way to turn this around is to look at it this way. If none of Trump's policies that he's talking about affect you, then he wasn't talking to you. So if you're not an immigrant, maybe not talking to you. So, and again, we should all live in a space of everything that he has said that he wants to do is just a joke. Because it does come to pass. Like, well, like one of those mass deportations things. If it, for their sake, it's not me. For their sake, I hope it's a joke. Because when they come through with the sweep and start gathering the girls up, and putting them in the checkout line and ruling them outside to put them in the car to take them away from here.
But my thing is, for people for color, that should be the most terrifying part.
Well, it's not because he's not talking about them.
Right. Yes, we should think, you know, possibly think it's a joke and we're not talking about, he's not talking about us. But it's just like, how do you think that will go down? You and I could walk down the street. They could think I'm Haitian and snatch me up.
So,
and they can turn and snatch you up. They think you from Jamaica someplace. Like,
so what they would do, the only way that I think that they'd be able to do this, because again, if for all the black people that voted for Trump, if Trump implements this police immunity, it wouldn't be hard at all, especially here in New York City. The police will see you walk by there and go, sir, can I see your ID? Because every citizen has an ID. Right? Right. So it wouldn't be hard at all. Sir, can I see your ID? Or you don't have an ID? What's your name? Jose? Come on. One. Sir, can I see your ID? You don't got an ID? Two.
First of all, if we're going to talk about history, baby, they used to turn around and enslave freed blacks back in the day, mm-hmm. even with papers. So what's stopping them from doing that now? Let me see your papers. Let me see your ID. Okay. This could be a fake. You're going with us anyway.
So I don't want to get too far in the fantasy, but like,
I mean, I understand not getting too far in the fantasy, but also my thing is,
something that could legitimately happen when it comes to deportation is that they could just ask, like, sir, can I see your ID? Oh, I don't have an ID. What's your name? Felipe? Come on. So.
Hell, but even way, people can lie. People can have fake identification.
Yeah, they can. But I mean, if you offer that fake up to a police officer and they run the numbers because it's your ID, and nothing comes up, you going to jail for fraud, and you immigrant. Great. I get your point, but that won't work. So,
facts.
Like, when it comes to how to deal with these things, that's one way to look at it, is that if none of these policies were talking about you, then they weren't talking about you. These first 2 years, we sit and take a back seat and watch. All the things, because again, like, all the things that they say they're going to do, we just hope they don't. Now that they have the House, the Senate, and the White House, they're going to push a lot of things.
And the Supreme Court.
That's right. Clarence, Clarence Thomas is going to step down, I'm sure, or retire. And so is Chief Justice. He's going to retire. Sotomayor may also, she's not doing well either. So it won't be a shock if he seats six of the nine. And we just got out in these 2 years until midterms come up. We got to sit and watch and see what happens. The people that he's appointing into these offices, that's the equivalent of the down ballot voting. These are all appointed positions that we do not get to vote on, that they just choose anyone that they see fit. RFK Jr., the people that he's chosen.
Is he something medical or something?
And you're like, come on. Like, what? Come on.
Like.
And so we just have to sit and watch and see. It's gonna be even more important to pay attention to what if the government provides you any service, whether it's healthcare or you get something via the government, food stamps, pick, anything. It's gonna be a prep. You know, if you get any kind of hormone treatments, it's going to be very important that you pay attention to what happens to that, because that could change. That very well could change. Any kind of government aid, if you get any kind, can change.
Because let me tell you, when a bitch starts looking hairy, I'm fighting everybody. I'm fighting everybody.
And so, It's gonna be that, and then to the people, if you are anyone that doesn't, if the federal government doesn't provide you with anything or very little, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. So those of us that make money, that have money, you're not gonna have any issues. It's the people that are living paycheck to paycheck, or they get a lot of government services, or their family gets a lot of government services. You know, Medicare and Medicaid, and it's not going to be that they. It's either going to be that they take it away, or what it takes to qualify for it will drastically change.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what's going to affect you. Not that you, again, not that you voted, not that you love the principal, but the teachers that he put in the school are off. The principal's great, let you tell it. But all of the teachers that he put in the school don't help.
Yeah, but they don't even have a certification. They like the teachers in Texas.
Oh, right. They
I
got
think it was
they
Texas.
Got...
They got caught, and it was like a lot of them were not even like they didn't pass their board themselves. Like mm-hmm. a lot of them like cheated and paid somebody for it. I mean, that's how so, the administration gonna be.
The hope is that the people that do not make a lot of money, or the people that are on the lower end of the poverty line, you're going to be affected. They're going to be affected the most, because that's where uh-huh. a lot of the money goes, right? A lot of the government aid, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, WIC. I don't know what any kind of other government service, but those big entitlements, right? Those are going to be the things that go first. There is Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are part of a new department of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. And anything that they deem inefficient is going to go away, or they're going to try to make it go away. Anything they deem inefficient. So it's really going to be the people that don't have enough, you know, that are going to suffer. You're going to do fine. As long as they keep taking money, just buy it. It's going to, like, that's what the issue is going to be. It's going to be, you know, women that I worry for, women that were so, Roe v. Wade wasn't just about abortion. It was about stillborns, it was about miscarriages, like all those things still happen to women, but everyone only saw abortion. They didn't see what came behind abortion. So,
but I am happy that some states are trying to put in place protections.
Yeah, some
from,
states.
You know, from that. Some states. You just gotta pray that you right. Or you can cross over the line real easily. Mm-hmm. Which to me that still is for us to be a country that's supposed to be the best country in the world, for us to be the leading superpower, for us to be all these things and for us to, I want to say regress, but I don't know if people may see it as regression. But for us to turn around and like get to this point, to me, I feel like it's a slap in the face to the people before us. It is. And also, it's just like, how can we hold this title when it's not true?
It's, well, a lot of people in the country have never left the country, and so they've never gotten a chance to experience what other people think of the United States, how they view it. Like, believe it or not, there and all the comforts and customs that we have here, they're not over there. They're not in other places. And when you leave the country and you experience these things, you learn and you grow, and it changes how you see other people. The same thing happens when you go to college. Whenever you leave your city or your town and you go to college and you're around different people. You're around people that did not grow up like you, don't look like you, don't know the things that you grew up with. And you're meeting these people that don't know you. You get exposed to the world, effectively. Back where, you know, most of us come from, you know, where I come from, everyone thinks alike. Most people look alike. Christian, no one's going to deviate from that. But it was college when I met someone that was Muslim or Jewish or Hindu, and they were like fully in their religion. Yes, it wasn't until I moved to New York City that I saw, because the Jewish population up here is very large, and they have holidays where their kids are not in school. Holidays I never even heard of. Growing up, where we're from, school wasn't canceled for some Jewish holiday. We don't talk. We do Christian holidays down here.
Yeah, man.
Rosh Hashanah, you're Jewish. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll see you in school tomorrow. You're gonna be absent if you don't come to school tomorrow.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Oh, you're doing What is it called when you're Muslim and you fast?
Ramadan.
If you're doing Ramadan, the teachers are prepared for you. Oh, like, you didn't eat all day? Teachers don't care about that. Or you're tired in the middle of the class, you should wake up. Go to the principal's office. Like, that, we just weren't around it. We didn't experience it. We didn't see it. So it wasn't real. And it wasn't until I got to college, I moved to New York, and I was exposed to true poverty. Not, you know, where I'm from, you know, we'll see people, hear people that are, you know, down bad. But you're down bad leaving your air-conditioned house, getting in your air-conditioned car to drive to your air-conditioned job. You're not down bad. Like, you're not sleeping on the train down bad in the same clothes that you've been wearing since last week. Down bad. Like, down bad. So. And it wasn't until I saw real poverty that I learned that this world is not about just me. And so to kind of bring this all home is that what I would say to anyone that is still feeling and processing, by all means, can continue to feel, continue to process. You can do that as long as you see fit. You can do it the next 4 years.
Please don't do it the next 4 years. That's
you. I got things to do. But if you need that long degree, we'll be it. But for those of us that life has to pick up, life has to continue, life has to go on, you never stop. You never stop advocating. You never stop fighting. This is just the wheels. It's not our time right now. It's someone else's time. It was a unanimous vote. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, the country decided that this is the direction that we wanted to go in, that they should go in. And so that's where we're going right now. Not every vacation is going to be your choice. Not every work project is going to be the one that you want to do. not every, you know, restaurant is one that you're gonna want to go to. And so now we're in a place of we didn't choose this vacation, but we here. We didn't choose this restaurant, but we here. I didn't ask to get attached to this project, but you know, here I am. And I still got to get this watch. I still got to work. These bills still come in my name every month.
So the bills gonna keep coming
in my name. They looking for me. First and last, looking for me. So I gotta work. I gotta get up. I would like it if all these people that voted for Trump would put their hats on so I could see you motherfuckers. I really wish. It'd be nice. Cause there's just too many of y'all. Like even in New York City, it went more red than it ever has. It'd be nice if y'all put on your hat so I could see who I'm dealing with, who around me. Why are everybody so scared? Wear your shirt, put your hat on. I'm not saying that I'm gonna pick up a rock and throw it at you.
I'll think about it.
Other folks might. I got too much to lose. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. They folks outside playing basketball. They ain't got shit to lose. They'll throw a rock at you. But wear your hat so we can see.
Or a brick.
Wear your hat so we can see.
Or stab you.
That'd be nice.
I live.
So that's what I would say to everyone out there. Keep working. If you do work, you're gonna make a lot of money this next year. You're gonna do very well. If you're working, no. I mean, hell, the money that you make, you should be voting Republican. You should be. You should be. You're making tons of money, nasty money, more money. write-offs and all of that, honey. But because you think about other people, because this world is not just about you, because the life that you live is that the environment that you live, the life that you live is not about you. And you know that if society does well, you then do well.
Okay.
If everyone understood that. Well, that's not where everybody is right now. Everybody only sees them, me, mine, and us.
I have a mother on Medicaid. You know, if something changes, or they'd be like, "Are you too much of a liability?" And this, we're gonna drop this. We already have to deal with, like, our system is already flawed already, and for somebody to come in and just be like, we need to change this, we need to take out this. Like the systems were in place so that everyone can have a decent quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And until everyone, and that's why I say, like, for us to be so great, we're not. You talk about how you went to New York City and you saw true poverty. You know, when people overseas, when they think of America, they think of New York City.
Yep.
They think of
New York, LA, and the Deep South. That's it.
You know, the place of dreams and opportunity. Yeah, it's dreams and opportunity, but also you can turn around be on the streets.
Easy.
You can turn around, work your butt off, and when you turn 80 years old, you don't have nothing to, you can't retire, you can't live comfortably, or you have to burden someone to, like, watch over you. Or you could be young and get in an accident completely unrelated to you, completely not your fault, and you can experience all these hardships. Unless you are healthy and young, yes, a lot of this stuff does not affect you, but, like, you have to look at the full picture. A lot of these systems are already not up to par to sustain and maintain. And then we're living longer as technology becomes better and everything else. And so it's just like, we need to think about okay, we're going to live long on this earth. We need to try to, like, get stuff together so that our lives can be good. Our future children can be good. Our current children's lives are good. Like, they are safe. They have good, nutritious food to eat. We need to think about, you know, yes, we need to think about our gas and all this kind of stuff. But, okay, what about others? You know, we have to also think about global warming. It's ridiculous the lack of compassion people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for us to be great, we need to have that compassion. And I feel like these next 4 years, it's gonna truly show our true feelings as a country. Like, I feel it. It's ridiculous. Continue working, because bills are gonna be due. And if you can, you know, set things aside for, you know, which is hard to do nowadays, you know, with everything is.
It's so hard.
You know, it's hard to set aside and to prepare for, you know, if you're sick or if you, if you know, you lose your job because a lot of businesses are laying off people. Like, it's so hard to exist here once your money runs out.
Yep. Yeah.
And I feel like until we get to a place, and I feel like America is not going to be great until we can get to a point to where it doesn't matter if you have the resources or not, you can live comfortably. And that's the only time that we can be great. So unless people can get in their minds that their leaders locally and from the bottom up can provide them a sustainable and comfortable life, whether they are racking up stacks or whether they are collecting pennies on the side of the road, then we're not going to be great.
I really enjoy this. I never get a chance for people to ask me my opinions on political matters, so I really enjoy that a lot. So I was happy that you were.
They need to.
I was happy to lend my voice and maybe, you know, my opinion and my thoughts. And no, I've never had it before, so was glad to be asked.
Oh, good. Joining me, I stand with you. I stand with you in all that you say and do. Every now and then, you know, of course, like, My queer brain goes into the extremes, and I feel like it's okay, because sometimes when I hear things that he does or his followers do, at this point I just kind of just keep everything as like a possibility. Because, you know, everything is, I mean,
could be.
I just never imagined any of this, right? But you made some incredible points. And yeah, I loved it. It was wonderful.
All right then.
So until next time. Bye.
Reflection. 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 Reflection.